good morning and welcome. Welcome here on this joyous Easter morning. If you could please stand and join me with loud voices in the call to worship, and then stay standing for the opening prayer and the song. I know it's a little long. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Christus ist auferstanden.
Er ist wahrhaftig auferstanden.
Christ is risen. Thank you. Can we bow for prayer? When the day is quiet and the world still sleeps and the morning is crisp and love breathes again, we praise you, O God of resurrection. When the time is now and the grave clothes are folded, we praise you, O God of renewal. When the day is new and the sun is fresh and the light is clean, and the stone has rolled, we praise you, O God of empty tombs. Now we see the world differently. What we thought was the way of things yesterday is no longer the way of things today. The desert that was barren now blooms. Death was yesterday. New life is today. Tombs were sealed. Now they are open. Love was dead. Now is alive again. Death has been given a makeover. Endings have a new perspective. Things work differently now. When the shouting has stopped and the suffering has ended, the betrayal complete and the darkness stolen, then we praise you, O God of life. Amen. Congregational singing, Christ the Lord is risen, in the Midnight Hymnal 179. Thank you for that singing. Welcome all again to this joyous Easter celebration. I'm glad to see that the weather has also cooperated and we are having a warm, sunny day. Are there any guests that would like to be introduced? Go ahead. Welcome. Welcome very much. Anyone else? Welcome also.
I'd like to introduce.
Oh.
I have both my sons here today, 2 out of 3. You've met Jamie and Ryan.
All right. Welcome. Lots of guests today. Anyone else? If not, be welcome. A few announcements that I'd like to highlight today. Certainly want to recognize our people in hospital who can't join us here today. Anna France, Margaret Jansen, both in Concordia Hospital, and we've just learned that Maria Letkeman's also been admitted there as of Friday. Gerhard Braun is also at Riverview Health Center. And very tragically, condolences, not in the bulletin, condolences extended to the family of Valentine Harder. Her grandson, Carl Harder, died on Friday. And in other announcements for this week, just a few things to highlight. Certainly everything's in your bulletin and take the time to read that. Just wanted to highlight for Sunday the 4th, there'll be a potluck after lunch. People are encouraged to bring a main dish as well as a salad or a dessert for the potluck after. Everyone is certainly welcome to that. And the next ZINC, which stands for Generation X, Y at North Kildonan, meeting will be held at our house on Saturday, May 3rd at 6:30 for an evening of dessert and coffee. And we'll be doing one of the NUMA Bible study discussion videos. Certainly all Gen XYs are welcome. Also, a small note about the Pascha this morning. I think it was a great turnout. Lots of Pascha left over, and certainly please help yourself to Pascha downstairs after. Yeah. Okay. We also want to move to a time of sharing. I'm going to take the prerogative as the worship leader that I'm going to start actually with sharing first. Many of you are aware that my sister-in-law, Melanie Gaudreau, Kim's sister, has been in hospital for a long time. I think certainly sharing on Easter is very appropriate. It's a bit of a story of Good Friday and Easter, and it's sort of a miracle story that is very appropriate on Easter. So for those of you who don't know, on January 18th, many months ago already now, Melanie walked into hospital. 24 hours later, she had to have a tube put down her throat and was intubated because she couldn't breathe anymore on her own. For 2 weeks, she lay in a very deep coma. She did not breathe on her own. She could not feel any pain. There was no sign that her brain was active. The EEG was very flat. She was, like I said, in a deep coma. She had every test, including a brain biopsy. And as a physician, I know that we don't do brain biopsies very often, which showed nothing, showed no reason. She had every test, every antibiotic. I think at one point she was on 8 or 9 antibiotics. In desperation, we went to steroids. Steroids are a sort of a last-ditch medication that physicians pull out sometimes when they're not sure what's going on. It decreases inflammation, and if there's an infection, it actually makes it worse. So it was a difficult decision, and we tried that, and they told us we'll give the steroids 5 days, and at that point we'll have a family meeting and we'll decide what to do. And the indication was that there was very little hope, and that we would probably have that meeting and then withdraw treatment, and she would die. We took that to heart and actually planned a funeral. Had Gary come, talked to a funeral home, made music arrangements. The kids came and said goodbye on Saturday. It was obviously very emotional, not just for us, but also for staff, staff took it very hard as well. On Sunday, we had the meeting, and obviously our hearts were very, very heavy going to that meeting. I can't remember if we came to church that morning, but I don't think we were really in any mood to do so. I remember being asked to worship lead on Easter just that week, and I wasn't sure what to say because I wasn't sure what kind of mood we'd be in. On Sunday, though, we were told that there was a flicker of reaction in her eyes, and she began to trigger the ventilator. We were told this was a change, obviously a change, but when I said an improvement, the doctor sort of scolded me and said, not an improvement, a change, and we don't know what this means. And so we didn't stop that Sunday. But we were also cautioned that maybe she'll get better to the point of a persistent vegetative state, so being a persistent, non-responsive state. We didn't know. But since then, again, miraculously, every day, she got a little better. Now, 13 weeks later, she's completely cognitively intact. Her mind is working completely normally. She remembers better than I do. She knows her sin number that she gave to her husband for disability. She's able to write on an erase board, and she's able to text and email, and she's back on Facebook. She can't speak yet, as her tongue and mouth are not working properly, and she can't swallow very well. She has a trach, a hole in her throat here to help her to breathe, so that's what she breathes through. And she certainly can't eat. She has a peg tube in her side that goes straight into her stomach to feed her. So she's come a long way, but she still has a long way to go. But she is starting to swallow and to smile, and that's a wonderful thing, especially before Easter. And that just started this week. She sits in a wheelchair. She can't stand, but sitting is getting easier, and she's shifting herself in bed. Again, small improvements, but improvements. She still has to be hoisted into the chair with a special contraction, but we're certainly waiting for the day where she can maybe stand and pivot stand to get into the chair. She spends a lot of her days doing physiotherapy. Kim is there most of the days and helps out coordinating things. And it's certainly difficult and tiring on Melanie on a regular basis. She gets frustrated and she's anxious about what the future holds. We know there's a long road ahead. We are so grateful for the support and prayers we've received. I think at times we felt the support and the prayers as they carried us through that dark, dark valley. We continue to wait and hope and pray for ongoing miracles. And I think it's legitimate to say that this is an Easter story. It's a story of Good Friday. It's a story of Easter. So thank you for hearing me out. Anyone else sharing today? I don't see anyone. Oh, I'm sorry.
I would just like to share that my daughter, Sandra, who is our youngest daughter, had a growth, and she went in for surgery last week, and by the grace of God, they feel everything's all right. We're just waiting for the results, but the doctors felt that it was positive. Thanks for thinking of us.
Thank you. Anyone else? If not, if we could bow for the prayer of God's people. O God, with faces touched by the light of a new day, and hearts warmed by our gratitude to you for our health, our families, and for your sacrifice and resurrection, we come before you to pray for the needs of our congregation and the world. Into the light of Easter morning, we raise those who are struggling with illness, those in hospital, Anna France, Margaret Jansen, Gerhard Braun, and Mary Letkeman, and those who've recently had surgery and are waiting for tests, Sandra, and those in personal care homes, and those with despair over their lives or with breakdown of relationships, and for those grieving the sudden loss of a family member, we pray for the family of Carl Harder. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of Easter morning, we bring those places in our world where war, violence, poverty, and need are the experiences of everyday life. For those living with strife and uncertainty in the Ukraine, a place many of us came from. For those in Syria and elsewhere where violence and homelessness exist, may the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of Easter, we bring the headline news of this week. We pray for the families of those who were slain in Calgary, and also for the troubled young man who committed this terrible act, and for his family, as they're hurting as well. And for the families of those lost at sea in Korea and on the Malaysian plain, we hold in our hearts their pain and bereavement. May the light of Christ shine upon them. And into the light of Easter morning, we bring ourselves, the private struggles, the heart's yearnings, the hidden dreams, the unfulfilled potential. May the light of Christ shine also upon us. Amen.
Come on up, guys. Good morning. How are you guys today? Did you get up early today? How many of you were looking for Easter eggs this morning?
No.
Some of you? Does anyone have an idea why we use Easter eggs as a symbol or eggs as a symbol for Easter? Yeah. Oh, you are so smart. You told the story. Keely's right. We use the Easter egg because Jesus cracked out of the tomb just like a chick cracks. Oh, thank you. Okay, we'll give them out later, okay? Have a seat here with me. You want to stand with me? Okay. Jesus cracked out of the egg, out of the tomb, just like a chick cracks out of an egg. And today I brought a real Easter egg. And I'll show you. Here is a real Easter egg. I decorated it myself. And the reason it's real is because, watch, it's empty, just like the tomb. So while I was sitting here this morning, I was thinking, I used to be kind of sad when I got those Easter candies that were hollow. You know that bunnies are hollow and some of the eggs are hollow. And now, when you open a hollow egg, you can think, huh, it's empty, just like the tomb. And it can help you remember the most important part of the Jesus story, is that Jesus rose from the dead. He did not stay in the grave. The tomb is empty. Can we bow for prayer? Dear Lord, today we celebrate the empty grave. We thank you that Jesus is not in the grave. He is risen, and because of that, we can have new life in him. Amen. And I think Eileen has cards for everybody, and then you can go downstairs for Sunday school. Okay? Take a card from Eileen as you walk out. Happy Easter.
Before we read the scripture, I wanted to take a moment to thank Carol for all her work and with the choir. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Carol. Scripture reading is John, verse 20, verse 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her.
Easter is a wonderful time. We do lots of fun things together. I was listening over Pascha today, and there's lots of family gatherings happening. We still do Easter basket hunt at our place. Apparently you don't get too old for that. It's mostly our sons-in-law who asked for that. Easter is the root of it all. That's what makes everything else make sense. Without Easter, it doesn't work. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse about 19, he says, "If Christ has not risen, we are of all people the most to be pitied." But he has. Christ has risen, and everything changes. Even though we experience death and struggle and difficulty in our lives, we know that one day that all gets taken care of. And we read through the Bible and we find all these marvelous passages like John 14 that says there's a place being prepared for us, or 1 Thessalonians 4 starting about verse 13, which talks about how those who die are caught up with Christ and we all be back together. At least that's my read of the text. Or Revelation chapter 21, which talks about how that one day all sickness and sorrow and sadness and death is gone. And we look forward to that and we read with gusto the passage from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 that says, "Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O death, is your victory?" Done. Done. The love of God and death went head to head, Good Friday, right? And it looked like death won, and it didn't. And it didn't. And we celebrate that. This is great. But it's more than that. Easter is a whole lot more than saying, "Oh good, one day we'll go to heaven. Now, let's get to work here." Easter is about change for us. The tomb didn't just open up for Jesus. God meant for the tomb to open for each of us, for each of us to experience new life, new hope, a future. Let's take a look at the story that we just heard, that James read from John. Three characters in there. The first one is Mary Magdalene. Now, tradition tells us that she wasn't a really nice lady. She was a prostitute, not the kind of boy that you want, girl that you want your boys bringing home. No, wrong kind. She was, history would put her there probably for a lot of very sad reasons, which we could speculate on. We'll pass on that for today. But the point is that she lived a life which was horrible. Every morning she'd get up just to hope to make it through the day to go back to bed. No respect, would never have any sense of belonging or value in the community. Just an outsider. And Jesus comes along and that changes. Somehow in Jesus, she experiences respect and belonging and hope and all sorts of good things. And there's no wonder that she's following Jesus. And when Jesus dies, it's like a door slams shut and it's worse than before. Because she thought there was something. Before that, she had no hope. My life's a mess. That's how it is. And now she has hope and that door slams shut. And she realizes how much of a nothing she is. And sometimes we're there. And sometimes there are people who feel like that they're just a total waste of time. Maybe they're from the wrong culture, or in some cultures from the wrong gender. Maybe things have happened in their life. They've made decisions which have impacted them. And everything's bad. And they're never going to amount to anything. And everybody knows that. I came from a small community. There was a lot of Low German speaking people. We had names for people so that they would never forget the stupid things they had done. There was one lady, I remember, we called her Ola Dulla Wiebscha. Old mad Mrs. Weeb. Sorry for my German. And we would have names, and if people ever thought they were going to live past some of the mistakes they made, wrong, because we would have names to keep that going. And so we would remember the people who had babies a little bit too early, and the people who had tiffs with the law, or whatever it would be. And so we would remember, and those people would never make it past a certain level. And sometimes it's not just the overt things. Sometimes it's the hidden sins inside of us that we know about that keep us from getting anywhere. Sometimes it's the things that we've done in the past or the things that we're involved in. I've mentioned a few weeks now, somebody caught me on that recently. I mentioned pornography a few weeks. MCC has just come out with a great little booklet on that. We're going to study that for Sunday school in fall. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's abuse. You go home and you do things to people you dearly care about that you feel terrible about. And when you get out, we put that limit on ourselves and we say, I'm a terrible person. I'm not going anywhere. When Mary came down to the tomb, she did not come to see if Jesus had risen from the dead. She came down because somebody finally in her life had done a little bit nice to her. And she was come to say goodbye. And so she sees the stone rolled away. And what does she think? Somebody opened the tomb. And she sees the angels. And what does she say? What are you doing in here? And she talks to Jesus. And what does she think? Must be the gardener. She has no notion that there's any hope at all. And then Jesus says, in that kind and respectful way that she'd never heard anywhere else, Mary. God calls our name and gives us hope. And the message here is, there is none of us that have done anything. So let me try that with proper English. Regardless of what we've done in our life, Easter is for us. And the tomb opens and it says there's hope and there's life and you belong and come on in. There's one more piece to this. Not only are all of us welcome, and not only is there hope for every one of us, but as Easter people, we see what Jesus sees. And everyone we encounter, we see with hope. There is no one that we write off and say, oh, them. You know what they grew up doing? You know what they used to do? You know what they've been involved with? None of that. As Easter people, we begin to see with the eyes of Jesus. And we look at people and we see hope. Ah, oh, God hasn't got a hold of them yet. But boy, when he does, amazing things are going to happen here. There's always hope. We cannot, as Easter people, look at people and speak ill. The second one in there was Peter. Peter comes along, and Peter's a piece of work, right? He's on the inside, but everything you can mess up, Peter messes up. He's in the boat, and Jesus is walking on the water. He says, can I walk in the water? Sure, says Jesus. Come on out. So he walks on the water. Pff, down he goes. Jesus hauling him out of the water, stuck him back in the boat. Peter. Then there's the transfiguration. You know, the time when Jesus is there and Moses and Elijah come. And what does Peter say? Just a minute, I'm going to call Qualico. We're going to quickly build three houses here. And Jesus goes, oh, man. And Jesus is talking to the disciples and he's trying to tell them about things that are coming. And he says, you know, I need to die. Peter pulls him aside and says, Jesus, don't talk like that. You're just really killing the party here. And Jesus says, Peter. And then, of course, there's a denial. Here's a chance to vindicate himself, to say, okay, this guy, Jesus is going down. I'm standing with him. But what does he do? I don't know the guy. I don't know who he is. Not my relative. Everything he did wrong. What a mess up. I was thinking about Peter, and I'll bet you his grade 3 teacher said to him, you know, Peter, just be a fisherman, right? Yeah, there's no hope for you. And what does Jesus say? Peter comes to the tomb, and he also doesn't expect anything to happen. He comes here. What's happened? What's happened? He heard the stone was gone. He looks in. Sure enough, stone's gone. Who did this? Looks inside, sees a grave clothes. I was trying to imagine if you were wrapped up, if you just kind of disappeared, what the clothes would look like. Just kind of poof, looks like some of the cakes I've baked. And nothing registers with him because he's Peter, right? And it takes Jesus walking through a door to finally get through to him. Jesus is risen. Jesus got a hold of Peter and he said, oh, Peter, you do everything backwards and you mess up everything. I'm going to build my church on you. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes we look at ourselves and we say, oh, man, I mess up so bad. Look at this and this and this. Or other people put us down and we don't think much of ourselves. And Easter is all about God looking at us and saying, what? Look at the gifts I have given you. I need you. I am building you as spiritual stones, as living stones, rather, into a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2. And you are important. And if you're missing, it's like a stone wall with a hole in it. I need you. I need you. And that's Jesus' response to us on Easter. And what it means for the tomb to be empty is for us to allow God to work with us. To say, I don't know. You know that Kenny Rogers song, The Gambler? You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up. I don't know a lot of country and western songs. It's the opposite of that. Kenny Rogers was wrong. You got to know when to take a chance, step out, and allow God to work with us. That's what that one's saying. Second part to that as well, same as the other one. If God believes in us, and he pulls the stone away of our tomb and says, go get him, then what do we say to each other? We believe in each other. We look at each other as sisters and brothers in the church, and we believe in each other. And we see people who, okay, they mess up. You know what? Jesus forgave Peter. We can do this. How many times? 70 times 7? Some people are getting close to that. But we can do this. And so, as an Easter people, we not only say, God needs me. He chose to need me. But we say, God needs you. There's a special place for you. There's a third person. John. John is the kind of person who just makes you mad. He's one of those people who does everything right. John the Beloved, the one whom Jesus loved, right? What does he do? Peeks in the tomb. Oh, yeah, Jesus rose from the dead. He's the kind of person, everything they do work out, you know. In a church, they're the ones, you ask them to do a job, and they do it really well, and they understand things, and we got to be grateful for them too, right? It's Easter for them too. And we are grateful for these people who just step up and things come easy. We are grateful for them. And God draws us together and makes a church. The only thing to those of you who are on the perfect end of things, oh, nice to have you here. We love to have guests. Sorry. Just remember the rest of us who struggle and have some grace. And so this is Easter. This is Easter where we encounter God in the empty tomb. Jesus has risen. Everything has changed. But part of what's changed is you and me. There's hope for us, regardless of who we are. There's a place for us. We belong. God believes in us and invites us to believe in ourselves and to believe in each other. May you experience the joy of the risen Savior today, as you are reminded again, not only that Christ has risen, but that you also, we also, are Easter people. Amen.
Easter wouldn't be the same if we didn't sing the song, Rollt ab dem Stein Jesus lebt. So I'm going to make it difficult. I want you to take both your German hymnal, number 99, and we're going to sing verse 1, 2, and 3 in German. And then we're going to have our hymn book at 567, the Brown Mennonite hymnal, and we will sing verse 1 in English. And in my notes here on the song, it says to start etwas langsam, so somewhat slow, but on the chorus, we want to be lebhaft, so with full life. Please stand. Thank you.
In dienst der Gruft der
It's a benediction. I'd like to read those great verses from the book of Jude, verses 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal. This would be the hymnal, the worship book, to number 269, For Thine is the Glory. I'll ask you to sing in unison verse 1 and 3 with the choir and the organ and the piano. Please stand.